Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
We're getting ready. We're starting an exciting week. This is what many of you may have heard it called. Today is Palm Sunday. And maybe you're here today and you don't know what that means. Well, I got good news for you. I'll tell you what it means today. And we're entering into what's called Holy Week. And really, every week is holy, amen, because every week we walk with Jesus. But this is Holy Week. And the reason they call it Holy Week is because it's the week before Easter. It's the week before Jesus went to the cross to die for all of our sins. And so I would say that the week before you know you're going to the cross, you know Jesus knew what was coming, that would be a very important week, right? And so we've had a tradition the last few years on for Palm Sunday is that we really just stop and really look at what Jesus did for his last week. And we want to make this week between Palm Sunday and Easter, we want to make it impactful. Because, you know, so many of us, we've been in church for a long time, or maybe you're here today and you haven't been in church that long. That's okay. We're all in church now this morning, and that's what matters. Amen? That's what matters most. And so we're all here, but we never want to lose the, like Scott said, the amazement of Easter. We never want to forget or become familiar, or it just becomes common, or, oh yeah, that happened. We never want to be like that, because what Jesus has done for us, what he has done for the world, has changed the world. Amen? He came to rescue. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said he didn't come to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world. Amen? And really, when we think about it, like, who can save the world? Jesus. Because when we think of all the problems that there are, and there's so many problems in the world that we live in today, and there's so much hurt, and there's so much pain, and we live in such trying times, and where everything just seems to shake, you never know what's going to happen. But you know what? Jesus was the answer yesterday, he is the answer today, and he will always be the answer for every problem that there is. His name is Jesus. Amen? And so we want to never forget or never again become common with the majesty of Easter. It's okay to have Easter bunnies and Easter baskets. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we never want that to be bigger than Jesus, because those are just fluff. He is the reason. Amen? And so today we're just going to talk a little bit about what Jesus did the last week of his life. Because with everything going on, it's so important that we take time to look at who Jesus is and remind ourselves, because if we are Christians, that means that we are Christ-like. We are followers of Christ. And to be a follower of Christ, we need to be like him. And so to be like him, we need to know him. To know him, we need to observe him. We need to see him. We need to be with him. And so today, we're just gonna follow Jesus through the last week of his life. And we're going to look from Palm Sunday to Good Friday. And we're just going to say, you know what? I see what Jesus did. And I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow his example. I want to be Christ-like. Because isn't that what's most important? And so turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 there, Matthew 21. And as we look through here and we see about what Jesus did, I just want to highlight five things that took place that I think have meaning for us today. You know, Jesus changed the world. He's still changing the world. He established the church. The church is so powerful, and I told you guys a couple of weeks ago just how powerful the church is. Never forget that you are part of the church, the body of Jesus Christ himself. That is who we are, amen? And you know, sometimes, like I said a couple of weeks ago, we can forget how powerful the church is, but just, I'll just say this to you again, just keep in mind that every weekend, just in the United States alone, over 100 million people go to church and worship Jesus every single Sunday. That's impressive to me. Amen. Don't let the enemy tell you the church is weak, the church is dying. It cannot be weak and it cannot die because it is the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we've got to remind ourselves this, we are the church. Amen. We're here to do the will of God. We're here to love on people. We're here to be representatives of Jesus. So we better know what's important to Jesus. Amen. And so when we look here at Matthew chapter 21, actually, I'm not going to read that for the sake of time. I got to get out on time, guys. But Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11, we'll touch on it. That's really where he talks, where Jesus comes in. He comes into Bethpage. He comes in on a donkey. This is Palm Sunday. It's his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And all the people are cheering and shouting, and they're so excited because they recognize that what was prophesied so long ago, they're saying, our Savior has come. Because the prophecy said that he would come seated calmly and peacefully, seated on a donkey, he would come. And they were all so excited that he was coming. This is on Sunday. They were so excited on this Palm Sunday that they were taking off their jackets and they were laying down palm fronds. And that's where we get Palm Sunday from. They were laying them down. They were giving him a red carpet treatment. They recognized who he was, and they didn't want him to step on the ground because they said, this is our Savior. He has come. But here's what they thought. They thought he came to establish an earthly kingdom. They thought he came to be the king of Jerusalem. But Jesus had a bigger eternal plan. He came to establish an eternal spiritual kingdom. Because if it was only an earthly thing, it would have already passed away. But it's an eternal supernatural thing. And so here on Palm Sunday, the same people that a week later are saying, send out Jesus, send out Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Same people that were cheering him because they didn't get what he was doing. They didn't get the magnitude. They couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and he was going to lay down his life for our sins. And so when we look here and we see what happened, turn over to Matthew 20, 28. We're just going to look there and we're going to see about what Jesus did and we're just going to learn from him. And so in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, I'm going to read it up here. I want to make sure we got the same thing. Matthew 20, verse number 28. It says, there were two blind men. I'll read it. For there were two blind men sitting on the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Then the crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet. But they shouted even more loudly. They said, have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. Jesus stood still, called them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. I think if anybody's saying, who is Jesus? Show them this verse. Say, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Who in the crowd of people that were trying to move him forward, in the crowd of all of this, he heard two blind men calling his name. These were nobodies. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and you think, Jesus isn't going to do anything for me. I'm a nobody. I don't have anything to offer. Or whatever your reason you think Jesus isn't going to stop for you. Jesus shows right here, he'll stop for you. Amen. He said, have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. And Jesus stood still. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And Jesus, the Bible says, was moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion for you. Here Jesus is on a crucial mission, the last week of his life. How many would know that he's got a pretty full calendar, a full agenda, you know? And the people close to him don't want him to stop. But Jesus stops anyway, and he takes care of these two guys. He heals them. In this action, he communicates to me, and I hope it communicates to you, that Jesus is filled with compassion. Amen. God cares about you. If you care about it, God cares about it. Amen. God is big enough to care about all of our big things and our little things. He's big enough to care about you right where you are, to stop right where you are and say, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's Jesus. Amen. And so when I look at that, I want to think to myself, man, am I that kind of person? Am I Christ-like in that way? Am I stopping for the people who maybe I'm busy, maybe I got a lot to do, but am I still stopping for the ones who are calling out and needing help? Am I still stopping for those people? I want to be Christ-like, amen? I want to be like Jesus, and so I want to stop. I don't want to be in such a hurry that I forget what's most important to God, and that's people. Amen. That's the most important thing to God is people. And it needs to be the most important thing to me as well is people. Let's be like Jesus. Let's stop and let's be filled with compassion. Let's not be in such a hurry that we can't stop for the people who need us. Amen. Your kids need you. Your spouse needs you. Your coworkers need you. They need you to be like Jesus. They need me to be like Jesus. They need to have compassion because I'll tell you what, this world has no compassion. None. We need to be that example. And Jesus showed us here in the last week of his life, he still had time to stop for someone and say, "What do you need? What do you need? What do you need?" When's the last time we stopped? You say, "Well, I don't know what to do." When's the last time we held the door? When's the last time we went out of our way? We were super kind to the server, to the waitress where we were, to the cashier, to the bag person, to our neighbor, to the lady loading her groceries with the kids. When's the last time we stepped out? That's one of the things I love most about my husband is he's so kind. He's one of the most kind people I've ever met. He is so kind. He's always stopping for people whose car is broke down. And I'm like, "Babe, this could be dangerous, you know?" And he's like, "I got peace on the inside. I got to be like Jesus." You know, I remember one time it was pouring down rain. It was just a typhoon of rain. And this lady had gotten her car stuck in this giant puddle. And people just kept driving by. But Scott's pulling over. He gets out. He helps the lady. It took him like 45 minutes. He was completely drenched. He doesn't say it to anybody else. He doesn't do anything like that. It's just who he is. At Publix, when people are walking out, if a little old lady is walking out with her cart, he's like, "Here, let me help you." And usually they're like, "Ah," you know, they get a little scared because people are not used to nice people. And he's like, no, "I'll just help you." And sometimes they're like, I got it, you know. But it's just that compassion. Compassion. It's a beautiful thing. And we see it in Jesus. Secondly, let's look at Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 37 through 40. At Luke 19, Jesus, he's on a mission here, but he's got time for what he says is important. Amen? Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 37 through 40. It says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" He says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You know what? When we see this, you know what those Pharisees were telling? They were saying, "Tell your people to quiet down. Tell your people to stop worshiping and praising God. Tell your people to stop saying what Jesus has done. Tell your people to button it." That's what the Pharisees were telling him. And Jesus said, listen, if they don't praise the Lord, the rocks will cry out. Amen? Here's Jesus. The Pharisees they're telling him what to do. And he's got, how many know Jesus got a lot going on right now? But he still took time to recognize the need and the importance of praising Jesus. Amen? To celebrate what God has done. Man, we need to take time to celebrate what God has done in our lives. Let's remind ourselves, man, I've been forgiven. I've been made brand new. Shame has been removed from me. Amen? God has done a work in my life. I want to celebrate that. But, there's always going to be somebody who's like, pipe down about that. Can you chill out a little bit? Have you ever had somebody tell you to just take it down a notch? But Jesus said, you know what? You can't box up a party like this. You cannot do it. He said, if we don't do it, the rocks are going to do it. Man, I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus say, those rocks did a good job for you. No. I want to praise. I want to do my fair share of praise. Amen? I want to celebrate what God has done. Jesus is showing us. He's showing us what's important. If you had 1 week to live, what would you do? What was important to you? That's what you'd do. You'd do what was important. And Jesus is recognizing the importance of celebrating the goodness of God, the power of God, the forgiveness of God, the newness of God. Amen. He's showing us that when he comes in there and everybody's excited to see him and it's all going and he says, listen, keep these people quiet. And Jesus says, nope, this is not the time to be quiet. It's not the time to be quiet. It's the time to say, my King lives. Amen. God has done a work in me. God has done a work in my life. God has healed my body. God has renewed my life. God is alive. Amen? And Jesus is showing us, listen, we need to take time to celebrate some things. If you need help celebrating, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't know what to celebrate. Listen, there's a scripture, Psalms 119:27. They don't have it up here. It says, God caused me to understand what you've done for me. God caused me to understand what you've done for me. Man, pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you've done for me. Amen. You know what? There is reason to celebrate. We need to understand that our sins have been forgiven. We need to understand the depth of what it means to be cleansed and forgiven. There is reason to celebrate. Amen. There is reason to celebrate because we have the power of God in us. Amen. There is reason to celebrate. Amen. And God's showing us that. He's like, Jesus said, listen, you can't, if they're not going to celebrate, the rocks are going to do it. What's Jesus saying? He's like, listen, somebody is going to praise the Lord, and hopefully it's going to be you. Hopefully it's going to be me. Hopefully it's going to be you. Let's worship God. Let's celebrate him. Let's remind ourselves, sometimes the Bible says in Timothy to stir up the gift that's in you. And, there's lots of different ways to translate that. You say the gift, your abilities, things like that. But, man, I say it like this, man. Stir up the gift that's in me, the gift of forgiveness, man. Remind me of that I have been forgiven. Stir up the gift of salvation. Remind me that I've been made brand new. Yeah. Stir up the gift of redemption in me, that I've been redeemed from the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I've been removed out of the enemy's camp, and I have been put into the family of God. Man, we need to remind ourselves of that. I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? There's reason to celebrate. There's reason. There's always going to be stuff going on. But this life is but a vapor. Amen. We've got eternity to sing and praise and worship and literally sit at the feet of God himself to look forward to. There is reason to celebrate. Amen? There's reason. The next thing we see, what Jesus does here is over in Matthew chapter 26, We're going to look at verses 6 through 16. We're just following Jesus through the last week of his life here. In this third area, we've seen in the beginning where Jesus took time for compassion. We see where he recognized the need for celebration. And now we see here, this is where the woman pours the perfume over Jesus. Let's look up here at these scriptures. He says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. Wouldn't that be a great way to be described? A man who had previously had an incurable disease that everyone died from, and you had to be removed from society because you had it. But now he's got company over. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. It says, the man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. Says the disciples were indignant when they saw this. They said, what a waste. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, say that with me. But Jesus. But Jesus. Some things look so clear in our heads, but then we need to hear a but Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we got it all figured out in our head, naturally, but then that still small voice will rise up on the inside and say, but Jesus, and it puts a whole new twist on whatever's going on. He says, but Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I will tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And you know what? We're fulfilling that right now because we're remembering her and we're talking about her. And her name is, not her name, but her story is in the Bible. And so when we look here, I want us to see that Jesus, he shows us what's important. Because, you know, history tells us that that perfume that she poured on Jesus, that it was, most scholars say that it was a 1 year's salary value. Think about what you make in a whole year. And then thinking about going to some store and saying, I'll have a perfume that's, you know, $30,000 or $25,000 or $100,000. I'll have that. And then think of yourself. Now, this wasn't a spontaneous thing. We know that because she had to walk over to Simon's house. And she had this, you don't carry, like, who's got a thing of perfume in your purse that costs a year's salary? Anybody? No, you probably got that sitting somewhere special. You know, don't knock it over. Don't mess with it. And so she had this. And she brought it. And the Bible says she poured it on Jesus. What was she doing? It was the most valuable thing she probably had. And she was giving what was most valuable to her. She was giving it to Jesus. And you know what? People may not understand why you've given your life to Jesus. But just remember, just because people don't understand it doesn't mean it's not a good thing. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, this woman has done a good thing. She was giving what she had to give. And Jesus shows us, hey, let's value what he values. Because the disciples, they didn't get it. What a waste. What a waste. And sometimes we think, people may say, or we may say, man, does this really matter? Is what I'm doing for Jesus, does it really matter? Listen, if you're giving Jesus what's most valuable to you, he calls it a good thing. Amen. Amen. He calls it a good thing. And just like her, you're going to be remembered and you're going to be discussed. Because when we do what when we value what Jesus values, all that shows we value what God values. And so we've seen Jesus moved with compassion. We've seen him recognize the importance of celebrating. And now he's saying, listen, man, let's make sure we value what God values. Let's not use the world's value system. Because the world values things that have no eternal value. The world puts value on things that God doesn't put value on. And so I want to be Christ-like. How about you? And so I want my values to line up with God's values. I want to see things the way that he does. Lord, show me the values. Show me the worth of things through your eyes, not my own. I want to value things like you. Amen. Oh, Jesus is so good. I love how he says, she has done a good thing. She has done a good thing. Oh, I love that. And then let's look here, and we're going to look in Luke chapter 22. Let's turn over there. We see Jesus is taking time for compassion. He's taking time to celebrate. He's taking time to value what's important. He was there with his friends, with this woman. You know, I believe that woman, if she could have, she would have poured out her whole life onto him. She was showing how much she loved him by pouring that perfume on him. And then we see here in this next one here, if you guys turn over to Luke 22, it says, Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives as he often did. His followers went with him. When he reached the place, he said to them, pray for strength against temptation. Then Jesus went about a stone's throw away from them, and he kneeled down and he prayed. Let's remember where we're at. This is the last week in the life of Jesus on this earth, but he still found time to pray. And it wasn't the only example of this. Several times all through Scripture and all through the last week of his life, we see him taking time to pray. It's a busy week, his last week, yet he still stops his world and he prays. Oh, that we could learn so many lessons from that. You know, there's a great book. It's called You're Too Busy Not to Pray. Isn't that what we always say? We're like, oh, I'm so busy. Well, if you're busy, you're too busy not to pray. If you're that busy, you need prayer more than anything. And we can look at Jesus and say, listen, if he had time to pray, don't we? Shouldn't we? Man, I want to learn from Jesus. I want to value what he values. I want to use my time the way that he used his. And he took time to pray. He modeled it, and he wants us to do that. Take time for that spiritual connection. Man, we need to be connected to God. We can't make it without a connection with him. We can't get through the things that we're going through without him. We need him. Amen? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just talking about, you know, just the things that they were going through. And I said, listen, you are talking in circles. You need to stop talking and start praying. Because you're just repeating the problem from every different direction. You got it all worked out in your head. But it's not worked out. I said, you got to stop. And that's the beauty and the gift of prayer, and especially the beauty and the gift of praying in the Spirit. It's because one of the most beautiful things, and when you understand this, man, it'll give you a hunger to pray in the Spirit like never before. One of the most beautiful things about praying in the Spirit, and what I'm talking about is praying in tongues. Look at your neighbor and go, woo! Amen. It's powerful. Don't let the enemy talk you out of something just because you don't understand it. Listen, I need stuff I don't understand because I get myself in some messes. I need God to get me out. I always say, listen, I got me here. I need God to get me out. But here's what praying in the Spirit does, and this isn't in my notes. This is a freebie. Somebody needs to hear this. Is when you pray in the Spirit, you bypass your head. Amen. You bypass your head because you don't need your head anymore. Your head is only got head natural knowledge in it. And so when you pray, the Bible says we pray in the Spirit. Our spirit is the center of a man. It's our belly. This my spirit connects with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And he prays, and I don't understand it. And you know why? Because if I understood it, I'd try to fix it. I'd try to change it. I'd try to make it fit what I think it should. And sometimes you just don't know. You don't know what the right thing is. You don't know how big the picture is. You don't know how God's going to do it, but you know the one who is going to do it. Amen. And so when I pray in the Spirit, My spirit, I'm a spirit being, you're a spirit being. My spirit connects with the Holy Spirit, and he prays through me the perfect will of God, and it comes right up out of me, and it bypasses my thinking, because I don't know what I'm saying, I can't understand it, and neither can the devil, and it goes straight to the throne of God. Amen? It is the perfect will of God. That's why praying in the Spirit is so powerful. And that's also why your mind fights it so much, because your mind doesn't get to participate. And your mind wants to control everything. But when we pray in the Spirit, it's like God saying, listen, you just take a break right now. You just take a break. You got yourself in a little trouble, and you need to take a break, and you need to let the Holy Ghost take care of you. Amen? And that's the power of praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said it was better for us that he go. Because when he left, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help us. Man, we cannot not take time to pray. We need to pray. Amen? We need to pray. And Jesus shows us here. He's like, listen. And you know, the disciples, they all fell asleep. So if you've ever fallen asleep praying, you're in good company. Amen? The disciples did it too. But you know what? Jesus woke them up and they started praying again. Amen? So just wake up and start praying again. Don't give up on it. Keep going. Keep going. And then the last thing we learn here from Jesus in this week of his life, we see here it says, when the disciples saw, this is when he's about to be taken. He says, when the disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Master, shall we fight? Shall we fight? We brought along the swords. One of them slashed at the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. His name was Malchus. Jesus said, stop, no more of this. And he touched the place where the man's ear had been, and he restored it. I mean, let's just get the picture of what is happening here. Jesus is about, he's being taken by the soldiers. Judas has betrayed him. He knows where he's going. He just spent hours praying in the garden, Lord, if this cup can pass from me. Nevertheless, at your will. It wasn't easy for Jesus to do what he did. He did it because of his great love for us. But I think this shows so much of who Jesus is, how compassionate and merciful he was for everyone. So often people will want to say, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, you not so much, you might get in, I don't know. But that's not true. Jesus loves everybody. No matter what we look like, no matter where we've been, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves us. He came for the world. And I think this portion of scripture shows just how loving he is. Because here he's being taken. He's being taken by this army. He's allowing himself to be taken, I want to say. He's allowing himself to be taken. And the disciples are like, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And Jesus says, no. But one of them slices off one of the soldiers, Malchus's ear. And in all of this stuff going on, Judas has betrayed him. He's allowing himself to be taken, to be crucified for the sins of the world. For the world. And he knows it. It was not a surprise. But yet in all of that, he reaches out to a man who lost his ear and he heals him. Isn't that powerful? I just think that is just so Jesus. He's so Jesus. Because sometimes you can get an idea that, oh, Jesus is too busy for me, or I'm on the wrong side of Jesus, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Jesus showed right here. He loves you. And no matter what's going on, he'll reach out and heal you if you let him. Amen? If you let him. Isn't that so good? I just love that. And all this going on, Peter slices off his ear, but Jesus still reaches down and heals him. People need to know who Jesus is. They need to know that Jesus is love, that Jesus is compassion, that Jesus is mercy, that Jesus is for everyone, no one excluded. And what I learned from here is, man, no matter what's going on, take time to do the right thing. Amen? No matter what's going on, take time to do the right thing, to reconcile some stuff. When I look at Jesus' last life, his last week of his life, I see such strength. I see such character. I see such love and mercy and compassion. I see Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he loves me, that he saved me, that he took time for me. How about you? So I would encourage all of us this week to just take some time. On Monday, take some time to celebrate what God has done in your life. Write a list and celebrate. Roll the windows down and celebrate that you're healed, that you're forgiven, that you're restored, that you're redeemed, that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. Take time to celebrate that you are not who you used to be. Take time to celebrate that God has forgiven you. He has restored you. Take time to celebrate that the greater one literally lives on the inside of you. Amen? Take some time to celebrate. Stir up those gifts that are on the inside of you. Remind yourself, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. God loves me. He's got a plan for me, and he will never, ever leave me. I don't know about you, but that's worth having a party over. Let's celebrate. Don't let rocks do your business for you. Amen? Let's do it ourselves. Let's take some time to celebrate. And then on Tuesday, let's take some compassion. Let's take some time for compassion. Just like Jesus, those two people, they called out to him, and he stopped. He was busy. But he stopped. Let's stop for some people. Let's stop for somebody. You know, if you're in here today and just on my heart, maybe you've got parents who are older and they've been calling you and asking you to do something. You know, fix their phone or how many fix your mom or dad's phone a lot? I do that a lot. You know, I was at a restaurant the other day and a little old lady walked up to me and said, is there any way you could fix my phone for me? I promise you. And I was like, sure. She said, my son said to look for anybody with an iPhone at a restaurant and ask him to fix my phone. And she had accidentally turned it on silent and she couldn't figure out why it wasn't ringing anymore. So, but you know what? I could have said, I got to go. I don't have time, you know, and that's not a big act of compassion. But you know what? It's those little things, amen, that can really make a big difference. Amen. Let's take some time for people. Let's be like Jesus, amen. On Wednesday, let's just really take some time to stop and ask ourselves, am I valuing things the way God values things? Is what's important to God important to me? Let me see things through God's eyes. I want to see God's value. I want to see God's value. And then on Thursday, let's just really connect. Let's spend some extra time in prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, who would you have me connect with? And on Friday, let's take some time to reconcile some things. Let's take some time. We've been talking these last few weeks about the power of one. just one thing, man. You know, you think about Jesus and those two blind guys. That one act had a big outcome. You never know what one invite, act of kindness, hug, smile, you never know what it's going to do. And today we got another video to show you about the power of an invite. So go ahead, Macho, go ahead and roll that. The power of an invite. Praise the Lord. You just never know the power of your invite, amen? And I want to point out in John and Mac's story is that Mac invited him and he came once and then he didn't really come a little bit, but he gave him a second invite and it was a life changer. Don't give up on people, amen? You need to be that Philip in their life. God's looking for some Philips that are going to rise up and say, hey, let me tell you about church. Let me tell you about the gospel, because it does have the power to change lives. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that Father, this week, this holy week, that you just help each one of us to dive in, all in, and to just every day just to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, we never want to forget the power of Easter, the sacrifice that was made for us. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I haven't really stepped into a relationship with Jesus yet. But after hearing about how much he loves and how compassionate he is, I'd like to open up my heart to him. I'd like to receive him as my Lord and my Savior. It's not complicated. It's easy. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, and he rose again, you believe in Easter. It says when you believe that in your heart, you don't have to have it all figured out in your head, but you believe it in your heart. There's a part of you that's saying, yeah, this is true, and it's what you need. It's who you need. All you got to do is call on his name, Jesus. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, you say, you know what, Peggy? I know that I need forgiveness. I know that I need guilt and shame removed from me. I know that there's an emptiness on the inside of me that nothing else has been able to fill. I want Jesus to come into my life and save me right now. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. That's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. I want Jesus. I see your hand. Anybody else? Jesus. He's the only one that can fill those holes on the inside of our hearts. He's the only one who can mend us. He's the only one that can bring peace in troubled times. Only Jesus. For the sake of those who raise their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me, to save me, to rescue me, to forgive me. He is my Lord and my Savior from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo, glory to God. That's what it's all about. You know, the Bible says the angels are having a party right now. They're having a party right now, just all for you. And the Lamb's Book of Life has been opened up. Not to be all dramatic about it, but it's the truth. And your name has just been added. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, listen, for the sake of those who raise their hand, don't leave here today without coming down and getting some info from us. This is a journey you don't take by yourself. You take it with your church family. And so we just want to love you. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. We just want to say, hey, welcome to the family. We're going to receive our Sunday tithes and offerings.